Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. It's good to be in God's house. Amen. Thankful for you being here this evening as we continue our study. The Sermon on the Mount, this evening's message goes along with the last couple of messages. When you look at the context of what Jesus is speaking about, he has been speaking about the sin of adultery. And Jesus said, you've heard it said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you, whosoever looks on a woman to lust after has committed adultery already in his heart. And as he continues with that that thinking and that teaching, we get down to verses 31 and 32. We take our text tonight, and we're going to learn about Jesus' teaching on divorce. If you would please stand with me, Matthew 5, 31 and 32. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Help us to learn from it, Lord. And I thank you for the families in this church. I pray that you'd strengthen families, that you'd strengthen marriages, that you would help our marriages to be such that it would be a picture of you and your marriage to the church. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn tonight, be convicted and be challenged to be more faithful in our lives, Lord, and just please bless. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. There was a Sunday school teacher that was teaching her class about the very first marriage, and Adam had it a little different. God created everything. He created man and saw that everything was very good. And the first thing that God saw that wasn't good was man being alone. And we know that's true to this day. A man that's alone could be a lot of trouble. Amen. Amen. And so God caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. He took a rib out of Adam's side, and from that rib, God created woman. And Adam called her woman because she was taken out of the side of man. Sunday school teacher was teaching all about that. And after she finished the lesson, one of the little boys had a catch in his side, and he was hurting his side, and he looked like he was in a lot of pain. And the teacher said, Johnny, what's wrong? He said, I'm not sure. I think I may be having a wife. We go back to the very beginning. In the very beginning, God gave marriage, and it was a good thing. It wasn't good for man to be alone, so God made man a helpmeet. He gave man a wife, and he instituted the marriage, and he set this up that it would be one man and one woman for life. Amen. Amen? This is God's plan. It's God's design. It's not a man and a man. It's not a woman and a woman, and that's God's plan. It's God's design. Now, I know that a lot of times people get nervous when there's messages on divorce and people get a little uptight and about all that. I'm not here tonight to try to condemn you for anything that's happened in your past. Amen. The past is in the past. Right. But what I want to do is commend you to how you live today and on into the future. Amen. 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 Listen, the past is in the past, and we're gonna read a verse tonight that tells us that God hates divorce, and nobody understands why God hates divorce as much as somebody who's been through divorce. Amen. We understand why God hates it. God designed a man and woman to come together and stay together forever, and when that bond is separated, when that bond is broken, it's painful. And there's a lot of sorrow that comes with it. And this is not something where God wants to beat us up or anything at all like that. God wants what's very best for us. And so don't feel like I'm trying to beat you up tonight. Just take this for what it is. This is what the Lord says marriage is supposed to be. He gives warnings about what divorce and why it's wrong. And we're going to get a challenge from the Word of God to have godly marriages from this moment on. Marriage is a great institution. It's a very important thing. And it's a great blessing from God. It is the foundation of our society. Marriage and the family is the foundation of our society. Amen. And the reason our society is falling apart is because our families are falling apart. Because marriages are falling apart. It's interesting, about 51% of all marriages in the state of Oklahoma end in divorce, but the divorce rates begun to go down as a whole, at not percentage-wise, but number-wise, because fewer and fewer people are getting married. We have this new phenomenon that's not new, but it seems to be new. We used to just call it shacking up. Now we call it cohabitating, because that sounds more scientific. It was a sin 200 years ago. It was a sin 1,000 years ago, and it's sin today. Amen. When we have sexual relationships outside of marriage, that's called fornication. When we have sexual relationships outside of violating our marriage bond, that's called adultery. And so we see these truths, and we're going to learn about them tonight. Notice, first of all, just very simply, the writing of divorcement. The writing of divorcement. Verse 31, it hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. And we know that this was given in the law. It was instituted in the law in Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4. When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her, and write her a bill of divorcement, and giveth it in her hand, and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which he took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife, after that she is defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord. And thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. This was the law that was given by Moses, and there was a provision for divorce in the law. We're going to read in a moment, but this is not God's design. God gave this law, allowed Moses to give this law because of the hardness of men's hearts. But Jesus said in the beginning, it was not so. It was never God's design, but because we are so wicked and sinful and hard-hearted, God made a way. Basically to deal with this in our sinful condition. But it wasn't God's design. That was the institution. But I want you to notice the corruption. Now, if you look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 19, Matthew 19 and verse 3, there was an institution of divorcement. There could be a bill of divorcement. It wasn't God's design, but it could be done. And in Matthew 19 and verse 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. So this is God's design. This is God's thing. By the way, just as a side note, I want you to look back up there at verse 4. This is completely unrelated, but I can't pass it up. Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning? By the way, God created everything about 6,000 years ago. We've got this idea that things have been around for billions and billions of years, and God created man in the beginning, right there. Six literal 24-hour days, just like the Bible says. Amen. You say, that's not what my science book says. I'm going to go with God's book. Amen. Okay, that was completely unrelated. You're welcome. The writing of divorcement. God instituted it because of the hardness of man's heart, and then it was corrupted. Now, I want you to get the context here. Jesus is teaching about what's going on in the world in this day. The Pharisees and the religious leaders had been teaching that divorce could happen for any reason. And their idea, basically, it goes along with the same thinking we've seen. Listen, thou shalt not kill. As long as you don't murder somebody, anything else goes. Thou shalt not commit adultery. As long as you don't actually sleep with another woman, anything else goes. And Jesus is straightening out all of this wrong teaching. He's not changing the law. He's giving the heart that's been behind the law all along. It's not right to murder somebody, but it's not right to hate anybody. It's not right to commit adultery, But it's not right to lust after someone and do all the other things that lead up to adultery either. It's not right to divorce somebody at all. And it's certainly not right to just do it for no reason. Amen? It's interesting what's happened in the world today. And I remember, I'm 36 years old. I remember the first kid in my class when I was in elementary school, the first kid in my class whose parents got a divorce. I remember that. It was a big deal back then. I mean, it was a big deal. It was something that people didn't just talk about, they whispered about it. Amen. Oh, his parents are getting a divorce. And it was a huge deal. Now it's nothing. Now, back then it was a hard thing to do. Amen. Back then it was hard to get a judge to grant you a divorce. You better have some good reasons. Now there's signs all over town. Divorce is cheap. Amen. It's commonplace today. It's easy today. But listen, friend, it was never God's design. Amen. I told you in the beginning, I want to remind you again, I'm not here to beat you up about your past. If you've been divorced, if you've been through all that stuff, I'm not here to talk about that. If you haven't ever gotten your heart right with God over that, you need to do that. But what we need to deal with is where we're at today. Amen. Where are you at right now today? And give your marriage to God and keep it before God every day. The ideas of what was going on in the world back then, I want you to listen what A.W. Pink had to say about what's going on here. The original statute on this matter is found in Deuteronomy 24. We read that. But so perversely had the injunction been interpreted that one of the leading schools of theology, that of Hillel, taught that a man might put away his life for any cause. In the apocryphal writings we read, "The son of Sirach saith, if she go not as thou wouldest have her, cut her off from thy flesh, give her a bill of divorce, and let her go," which is one of the many definite indications that the Apocrypha was not inspired by the Holy Spirit. Josephus also writes, "The law runs thus, that he would be divorced from his wife for any cause whatever, as many such causes there are, let her give him a bill of divorcement." And the idea was, listen, you get married, Moses gave us this way out, and if for any reason, listen, if your wife burns the biscuits, divorce her. Your wife doesn't make biscuits. Divorce her. And that's where they had gotten to in that day. Listen, if you're not happy with her, kick her to the curb. And that's what they did. And they went from wife to wife to wife to wife. And they were never satisfied, never happy. And they abused the law. Amen. And Jesus said, listen, I'm here to tell you today, you can stick with the letter of the law if you want to. You can kick them to the curb for any reason if you want to. But when you do that, you're causing her to commit adultery. And when you marry somebody else, you're committing adultery. This is the writing of divorcement. The reality of it. You see the writing of it, you see the reality of it. "Whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery." It all goes back to that sin of adultery. If you look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. If you cheat on your spouse, you've committed adultery. If you get a divorce, saving, except for the reason of fornication or adultery, you have committed adultery yourself. Now, I hesitate to even get into it too deeply, but Jesus says it right here. He gives one reason for divorce. The cause of fornication. If your spouse breaks your marriage vows and commits adultery, you have a biblical right to get a divorce. Everybody with me? But you don't have a biblical mandate. You have a right, but you don't have a mandate. And I want to tell you this. I've seen marriages go through terrible, terrible circumstances. And I have seen God bring healing and reconciliation to those marriages. I've seen marriages go through unspeakable things and come through the other side stronger because of the grace of Jesus Christ in their lives. It's something that I can't explain, I can't understand other than this. God is gracious. And God can bring healing and forgiveness like is beyond my comprehension, but God can do that. So there is a clause, if you will, there's a loophole here, but let's not focus on that tonight, okay? Let's focus on the other part of it. Let's focus on the fact that we need to be faithful in our marriages. The reality of divorce is it can bring sin. The reality of divorce is its separation. In Matthew 19:6, we read, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." And when you've been joined to somebody in marriage, there is a joining there that God does, and it's not just a physical union. It is a spiritual union. It's an emotional union. It's a union in every part of your being that you are joined with this other person. And when you are divorced, there is a separation there that's painful in every part of your being, physically and emotionally and spiritually, mentally, the separation, and it brings sorrow. Malachi 2:16 says, "For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith, let me try that one more time, okay? Sometimes you just got to back up and start over, right? "For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away." God hates it. I told you a moment ago, nobody understands why God hates divorce as much as people who've been through it. There's sorrow, there's separation, there's pain, it's difficult, it's hard. And so that's the reality of divorce, and it doesn't just affect the couple, but it affects the children. It doesn't just affect the children, it affects the grandparents, it affects everybody involved. And it doesn't just affect for this little while until we can get this piece of paper through the court system. No, it affects you for the rest of your life. And so the challenge for us tonight is to understand God gave the writing. There is a provision there, but the reality is it can bring sin and separation and sorrow. And the reality is we can have victory over it today. We can have victory over it today. Look there. We looked at Matthew 19. I don't know if you're still there, but Matthew 19 and verse 4. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." Listen, we grow up at home, we're close to mom and dad, and there's a great bond there between parents and the child, and that's very special, it's very important, but there comes a time when that bond is to be separated, it's to be severed, it's to be broken to an extent so that you can go and have your own family. And there's this principle of leaving. If we're going to have victory in our marriages, we've got to have this principle that we leave mom and dad and we cleave to our spouse. Because this marriage bond is sacred. This marriage bond is holy. This marriage bond is something that God puts together. You say, "I'm married because I got a piece of paper filed down at the courthouse." Now, you're married because it's done in the eyes of God. You ought to have the thing at the courthouse too. That's all part of it. But I'm just telling you that this is something that God does, that God brings us together. There's a bond that happens with a husband and wife, and you need to cleave together. We ought to be dedicated to our spouse in every way. I want to tell you the secret to a lasting marriage. You guys ready? Are you still awake? I haven't been preaching that long yet. In 2005, the Guinness Book of World Records said that Percy and Florence Arrowsmith held two records: the longest marriage of a living couple of 80 years and having the largest married couple's aggregate age of 205 years. They've been married for 80 years at that time. I'd just like to live that long. Both Mr. and Mrs. Arrowsmith have since died, but they left good advice for those who want to have a lasting marriage. Florence said this, you ready? "You must never go to sleep bad friends. If you've had a quarrel, you make it up. Never be afraid to say sorry." Amen? Amen? Good advice from a woman. Amen? Amen. Mr. O. Smith gave his two cents as well. Married for 80 years. And his advice for a lasting marriage, the secret to a lasting marriage, was two words. Learn to say two words, fellas. Yes, dear. Amen. Sit. Some of you are shaking your head because you're not going to say that. Yes, dear. We ought to be dedicated in our marriages. I want to invite your attention just for a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We saw the writing of divorce, how it was given, how it was corrupted. We see the reality of divorce, how that it's sin. It could bring sin if we get divorced for anything other than the cause of fornication. It's separation, it's sorrow. But we can have victory when we're dedicated in our marriage by leaving and cleaving. And God makes it possible when there's trouble in the marriage to have reconciliation. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Sometimes marriage has trouble. Did you know that? Did you know that before you got married? I had some dear friends, and I won't name their names because all of you know them. I was not very good at marriage counseling early on. Brother Mike will tell you about that. But one couple that I was counseling with before they got married, and we sat down, had a little Bible study, and I guess when you're a young preacher and you haven't even been married yet, it's really stupid for you to be doing the marriage counseling. But I remember sitting down with them and talking to them and saying how, listen, I know you guys, everything's really good, but you got to understand, sometimes things aren't going to go great. You're going to have fights. You're going to have arguments. Those things are going to happen. And they said, oh, no, we'll never have a fight. I said, no, seriously, because I thought he was joking. He said, no, listen, we've been dating for a couple of years now. We've never, I don't even think it's that long. We've been dating for a while now. We've never had a fight. We'll never have a fight. We'll never have an argument. Yeah. Listen, there's going to be trouble in marriage. Amen. There's going to be difficulties. Amen. Sometimes, Brother Steve, she's just going to be wrong. Just keep waiting. One of these days, she's going to be wrong. But what's the commandment? Don't leave. Let not the wife depart from her husband. But listen to this. In verse 11, he says, but if she departs, if you leave your husband, don't. He says, remain unmarried or be reconciled to your husband. And he says to the husband, listen, don't put her away. The whole purpose here is don't give up. You got trouble? Get it reconciled. Listen to Mrs. Arrowsmith. Listen, don't go to bed bad friends. If you got a quarrel, make it up. Work it out. And listen, maybe you got to spend all night up. Maybe you got to talk it out till the sun comes up. Whatever it takes, work it out. Listen, if it was worth it for you to get married, it's worth it for you to stay married. He's not what I thought he would be. Well, that's your fault. Nobody can fix that. I guarantee you there's not a woman in here that would say, he's everything I thought he would be. No, he's a whole lot of stuff that you didn't have any idea about. Amen. But that goes both ways. Amen. Work it out. Be reconciled. Listen, if you got to get counseling, get counseling. If you got to get help, get help. But fight for your marriage. Work it out. Reconciliation is possible only through the grace of God. I want you also to look at this. Marriage is messy. It's so fun to stand up here and say, this is the way God designed it. One man and one woman for life. But then you get in the real world and that's just not where we live, is it? Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But that's just not the way the real world is. So what do we do then? 1 Corinthians 7, verse 12. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, she be pleased to dwell with him. Let him not put her away. By the way, let me give you another little side note here, time out. When Paul says, this I'm saying not the Lord, it's not saying this isn't God's word. What he's saying is, I'm telling you something God hasn't already told you. When he says, this is the Lord, not me, he's saying this is already in the word of God. Now he's giving you something that's different, something that's new. All right? But to the rest, speak I, not the Lord. It's still the word of God. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband, or not knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? He goes on to say, down in verse 27, art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. Here's the deal. He says, listen, if you're married to somebody who's unsaved, stay with them if you can. Because they could be sanctified by you. Your spouse and your children could be saved if you'll be faithful to the Lord. Who knows? But God might use you to bring them to Christ. There's been a lot of families in churches. A lot of husbands come without their wife because their wife's not saved. A lot of wives come without their husbands because their husband's not saved. If you can, if at all possible, by the grace of God, stay with it. Be faithful to God, and you might bring them to the Lord. We see God's plan. You're married? Stay married. He said, if you're not married, you're better if you stay that way, but if you marry, you haven't sinned. See, marriage is a gift from God. It's a good thing. And God did give it to some that they would stay unmarried, and that's all right. There's nothing at all wrong with that. God's given that to some. But without getting into a whole lot more tonight, I just want you to see that we can have victory in our marriages. Jesus is talking about divorce because they had abused the law that gave them a way out. What we want to do is move as far away from that as we can. See, it's never a good principle for us to say, well, how close can I get to this sin before it's really sin? No. Let's go the other way. Let's stay over here and say, how close can I get to what's right? How close can I stay to Jesus? How close can I be to what I need to be doing? And when so many people want to look at this and say, I'm looking for my way out. No, let's look for the way to stay in. Real quickly, I want to give you 7 reasons you ought to pray for your marriage. Number 1, to invite God into your marriage. Not as a guest, but as a friend. We need God to be in our marriages. Amen. Number 2, because prayer is the greatest gift we can offer someone we love. You love your spouse, the best thing in the world you can do for them is to pray for them. Amen. Number 3, because there is power in prayer. And prayer should never be considered a last resort. A lot of families get down to the end of their rope. They're praying. They're crying out to God. Maybe they would have never got to the end of the rope if they'd have been praying a long time ago. Amen. And by the way, don't ever think that you might not get to the end of your rope, because nobody that's at the end of the rope thought, I'm going to get down there one day. No, let's pray now. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Number 4, to stay connected with God. We should never take this opportunity for granted. Listen, we need to have Christ-centered marriages. Amen. Marriage is hard. Amen. Even for Melissa to be married to me, you'd think that'd be real easy. Marriage is hard. I can't imagine how hard it would be outside of God, outside of His church. Can't even imagine. I'll just go ahead and tell you, I can't believe the divorce rate's not even higher. So many people without God in their life, I don't know how they ever make it. We need God. Number 5, because it's God's will. Always a good reason to pray. Amen. Number 6, it reshapes your attitude. Prayer changes you and it changes the way that you love. Amen. Let me give you a secret. If you think your spouse has got a lot of problems, there's a lot of stuff wrong with them, you might want to spend some time looking in the mirror. Praying for your spouse, praying for your marriage will change you. Number 7, because a marriage needs to be protected. It was instituted by God, and it's God who's going to have to keep it together. Marriage is a gift from God. It's a great institution. It is the foundation of our society. Yeah, there's a way out in the case of fornication. But let's not focus on the way out. Let's focus on keeping our marriages strong. Let's focus on wherever we are today. We can't change yesterday. The only thing we can do is repent, get our heart right with God, and live for Him today. Can't change yesterday, but we can change today. Let's pray that God will bless our lives, our families, our marriages. I want to say this while we get ready for an invitation tonight. We got some young people in here today. This is terrifying, but all of these kids in here one day are more than likely going to get married. Can I challenge you, grandparents and parents, pray for your kids' spouses now. Amen. We've been teaching our kids, we just talked about it this morning, when they get to that age, you know, 30 or so, to find a spouse. We want them to find a spouse that is as much like us as possible. Amen? Amen? Listen, we don't want to be unequally yoked. I want to tell you right now, you want to find somebody that believes like you. Amen. Somebody that believes this book. Amen. Somebody that's a missionary Baptist. Amen. Amen. That's what I said. That's what I meant. Listen, we ought to pray for these kids. And I believe that there's hope for marriage to get back to what God designed. Amen. I believe it's possible. Amen. For our lives today and for our kids and our grandkids in the future. Right. But we have to keep God at the center of everything that we do. Pray for your kids. Pray for their future spouses. And let's pray for one another in our marriages today. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what's going on in your marriage. But God does. And God is here to help you today. You say everything's good. Praise God. You ought to pray and ask God to keep it that way. Amen. You say things aren't that great. Then you ought to pray and ask God to help. God can help keep reconciliation and strength in your marriage today. Let's stand together. Let's sing number 524.